morning. Praise the Lord. We welcome you in the name of Jesus. Those of you who are watching through YouTube, Facebook, and Rumble, God bless you. We're glad that you're with us this morning. What an awesome time of worship we have together here at Manifest Church. It's an awesome time when we begin together as a body of Christ to sing unto the Lord. We give him praise because he's good. I know that things don't seem good sometimes with us. Sometimes we feel that, God, where are you, God? But God is there. Even when you don't hear, even though when you don't see, there are things that God is doing on your behalf. His angels are ministering to your life because God is good and he's faithful to keep watch over his word. God is good. And so we welcome you. Thank you for being with us. And if you are listening to the podcast, we welcome you. Be sure to leave a comment. Let us know how God has ministered to you today through this word. And we pray that God will do so. So this morning we are going to be back in Daniel chapter 9. This is where we've been for a couple weeks. The overall message is Daniel's prayer, and we are in the third part of this, and we have been in Daniel's prayer for 2 weeks, and now we want to look at God sends Daniel an answer. How many know when you pray and you ask God, you would like an answer? You would love God to answer you. And so you can understand his heart and know his will concerning what you're asking. And so Daniel, in his time of humbling himself before God and praying in repentance for the people and himself, he cries out to God and God brings an answer. And so we are going to be in Daniel chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 20 through 27. Again, that's Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. And like I said, we've been covering for the last 2 weeks. Daniel, again, was moved. We saw this. Daniel was moved by the word of God when he was reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. You remember he was reading Jeremiah's prophecy concerning 70 years of desolation. And it caused him to pray. It caused Daniel to pray. And all of this was because of Israel's transgressions against him. And God, who is a good father, disciplines the ones he loves. And we see that the discipline that Israel is going under, but being captive, being taken away from their land, God was disciplining them because they had turned to the gods, to false gods, and began to do the things that he drove out the nations before them for doing. And so Israel was doing those things. And it just reminds us today that God is a loving father who disciplines his children. And when we go away from what God says as his children, as Christians, I want to fast forward now as a believer, when you disobey God, he brings discipline in your life in order to bring you back into the path, to bring you back into his will. And sometimes for some of us, we need a lot of discipline because we're stubborn, right? How many of you know if you have your children, some are different. Some learn with a quick discipline. Some need a long time of discipline because you got to wear them out. Because they just don't listen. Sometimes children are that way. And our Father, who is better than we are, and holy and true and knows everything, oh, how much better does he when he disciplines us? It's for our good, even though it's painful at the moment. We don't like to go through it. We don't want to deal with the trials and the sufferings that we face. But in all of that, God is refining us. We know that the testing of our faith produces in us character, and character has to finish his work so that we could be mature, so we can grow. We need the trials. So, you know, so many times in our lives, we forget that when we go to plant a plant, when we put it down and we plant it, the hope that we see that little plant that we put on the ground is for it to grow and flourish. But it can't grow if we put it in a dark room and there's no sun, there's no rain, there's no elements hitting it. It won't grow. In the same way, we are God's building. We have to be in the moment where the trials and of tribulation, the rain of tribulation, the sun of persecution, all of those things cause us to grow. And then the Bible says that if we remain in him, we'll bear much fruit and fruit that will last. Man, I don't know about you, but that's good news. I know it's hard when we deal with trials. Because the first thing we want to do as parents, too, with our children, oh, I don't want my kid to suffer. I don't want him to go through things. But you got to understand that we can talk to them and we can give them wisdom, just like our Heavenly Father tells us in his word what we ought to do and how we should live. And yet we, in our wicked way, we'll turn and do our own thing. And as a result, there brings some consequences that happen. And And as fathers, we look for our children. We don't want them to fall. We don't want them to go through the things we went through. But I want you to understand, my brother and sister, that there are moments where you have to trust God through the process. Because some people have to learn the hard way. It's an old song. Some people got to learn the hard way. And they do. Some people got to get hit in the head with bricks to get it. Some people, you can talk to them and they change, right? Some children, you could just say, you just speak a word, I'm disappointed with you, and they change their behavior. Some, you have to take the belt out and hit them a couple times and put them in the room for a couple days. You can't go play with your friends. You can't go do nothing. Why? Because some people need different discipline to get them in line. And I tell you, sometimes in our lives, as the writer of Hebrews says, discipline at the moment doesn't seem fun at the time. It's not pleasing, but its harvest is a life of holiness. And without holiness, no one shall what? Will see God. That's what the Bible says. Not perfect, not perfection, holiness, meaning that brings us and it separates us to our Lord. And guess what? Remember what the disciples said, they count it worthy to suffer for his name. Why? Because he suffered. And remember, he told us, he said, listen, if I suffered, I'm the Son of God, what do you think is going to happen to you? What do you think they're going to do to you? If they call me the prince of demons, what do you think they're going to call you when you start to obey me? They're going to call you every name under the sun. And we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I count it a blessing to suffer for your name because I love you. And I want to do what pleases you. And I know with that, sometimes in this world, people don't like it. Okay. And so Daniel's in this, and we're seeing this happening. Daniel begins to fast and pray, as we've seen. He begins to, with pleas of mercy to the Lord, to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. How, you guys know when they were taken captive, the temple was, everything was taken out of the temple. It was taken to Babylon, all the gold, all the silver. And it was left desolate. And desolate means it was like nothing there. There's nothing. There's no life there. It's just in a decaying state. And we know how important is a temple. The temple is a type and a shadow of we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are being, Peter tells us, we're being built into a spiritual house. We're stones that are being put together for a spiritual house. Why? Because we were created to glorify God. We were created to worship him. and we are being built into that spiritual house. And there are times, even in our own lives as believers, our spiritual house is desolate because we're not spending time with the Lord. We're not in his presence. We've been, as we were singing a song there, that there's something that replaces love. You remember Jesus when he was talking to the church, one of the churches in the book of Revelation, he says, you have forsaken your first love. Go back to your first love. Remember that? And they had forsaken. That doesn't mean they forgot. They left it. They put that love down that they had for the Lord, that fervent love for him. They put it down and put their affection on something else. And God begins to do that, to bring those things, to bring us back to him, to bring us into alignment with his will. And so the temple was so important. That's the first part. Why? Because God works from the inside out. God never tries to conform your behavior from the outside in. See, that's religion. Religion is meant trying to conform the outside behavior, but their heart is still wicked. No, Jesus comes and he says, listen, it's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of a man's heart that makes him unclean. It's in the heart where murder, lying, thief, adultery, all that's in the heart of man. And that's what defiles a man. It's not what he ate that defiles him. It's what's already inside of us, the sinful nature. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus comes and his Spirit comes and dwells in these jars of clay. And he gives us a new heart, right? We saw in Jeremiah, he wants to give the people of Israel one day a new heart to obey him. He's going to make a new covenant with them. Hallelujah. And we're experiencing that as the Gentile church. We're experiencing that heart change because we're not living by a set of rules. We're living because we have come to know God. Because I promise you, before the Lord, before Jesus coming into my heart, I will have no desire to be here. But desire will be doing other things. There'll be no desire to talk about Jesus, to tell people about a Savior. No, because I'm living my best life now. I'm doing what I want to do because I'm God. Right? That's what man does in himself. I'm going to do what I want to do. But when Christ comes in, he changes your desires. He changes, man. When all I wanted to do was sin, now I want to do what pleases him. Now I want to do what's right before God. Okay, what do I do, Lord? How do I live? Okay, what do you say about that? And I look for the word. I look to know what his will is. I look to know what pleases him. Why? Because I've come to know the one who died for me. And as a result, I'm being changed from the inside. I'm being renewed in my spirit inside. And as a result, what happens when how a man thinks, so he will be. And as we begin to change and be renewed, why does the enemy keep us from the word of God? He keeps us from it. So we don't change the way we think. We won't know the will of God if we don't have our eyes focused on his word and that time with him and prayer and just letting him minister to us as we ministering to him in prayer and asking for his help and asking for his wisdom and his guidance. Asking, you know, the Bible tells us in James that if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. God isn't trying to withhold wisdom from you. Ask. Every time I come on this pulpit, I ask God for wisdom. Every time I stand before people, they've been, I've been preaching for a long time. I'm 44 years old. Started preaching at the age of probably 20 years old. Have I stood before people and not asked God for his help? Why? Because I can't do it. If not, just words. But when God's present, his power is present, it cuts right here. It goes into the heart. It causes people to think on the word of the Lord. And then, anyway, so that's what's happening. Daniel wants God to make the temple back what it used to be, to bring back his presence in the temple. And he is praying. Daniel is about 80 years old. Oh, man, what an awesome testimony. Here's an 80-year-old man who is still crying out to God, who is still believing God for what he promised through Jeremiah's word. 80 years old. He is believing God. I mean, you know what? All the patriarchs. Think about Abraham. All those Abraham. When he got the promise, Abraham was 75. Age 40, 75 years old when he got the promise. And then when he had Isaac, he was 90. Whew. God preserved him and Sarah all those years because he was going to be faithful to fulfill his word. What are you going to do? Remember, I got to tell you this. Remember, Sarah was in the tent when the angel of the Lord sat there with Abraham and talking with him. And as Sarah's in the tent and she's listening to, you know, how people eavesdrop when you're having a conversation. We get, you know, probably when my kids are, where the adults are talking to here and they're by their room, if they're nearby, they're just listening to see what they're talking about, right? And so Sarah's listening and the angel of the Lord, which is, you know, a type of Jesus, he's there and he says, you're going to have a baby. Your wife's going to have a child in 9 months when I come back. And she she starts laughing. And the angel of the Lord turns to her. He says, why do you find, I'm paraphrasing, okay? Why do you find that so funny? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is hard for the Lord. Caleb, an old man. Everybody else got their portion of the lands that God had promised them through Joshua, and they got it. And Caleb comes to Joshua, hey, Joshua, I don't care. I am just as strong as I was when I was a young man. Give me my mountain. And he didn't wait, and he went and got his mountain. And as Daniel, he's here 80 years old and asking and pleading for God to revive the temple again, to have it rebuilt, to remember his promise to his people that he just read through Jeremiah, that it would be 70 years. And he is stirred in his heart to pray and ask God and begin, because he knows when his people... He knows the promise. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Daniel understood that. Daniel understood they needed to pray and ask God for his mercy and his help. And Israel at that point, so he's 80. Israel has been in captivity now for about 65 years. So we're 5 years away from them, the 70 years being over. And God fulfilling his promise to bring them back to the land. And so he begins to ask God to act. And now I want to talk about the answer. Let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, to have your way this morning, Lord, through your word. Lord, we need you. We need your presence. We need you to touch our hearts. Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts through this message. Lord, I know this was written a very long time ago. But there are things that in this answer that are for us today and for even the future generation. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, I ask you to empower me now. Help me to preach your word without fear, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So he says here, let's go to verse 20. And Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. And we're going to read through 27. It says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgressions, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a holy place. Know therefore, and that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and molt, but in a troubled time. Verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. Verse 27. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for a half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. All right, that's a lot there. Well, Daniel is praying, asking God for an answer. And man, what a response he gets. It goes beyond his generation. It goes beyond what he was asking. How many of you know God is so good that when we ask, he gives us more than we ask we can ever hope or think or imagine? Daniel's asking about the captivity being brought to Jerusalem, and God shows him the future. Because this is temporary. Because what I really want you to see, Daniel, that's going to be for a future generation, is when it's all going to be said and done. Daniel is just like, just there. And the answer comes through Gabriel. God sends Gabriel. Who's Gabriel? Gabriel's an angel. The archangel, Gabriel, he is there. And he brings the word. He came to him before. Gabriel, a few chapters before this, Gabriel gives him the interpretations of what he had saw. God, we need to understand that one thing's for sure, God loves his children. I don't know if you heard this enough. God loves you. If you're his child, if you've been born again of his spirit, God loves you. He loves you deeply. You know why? Because of what Jesus Christ did, his son. I want to remind you of a scripture about the love of God for us, his children. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, this is Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake being killed all day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When God brings the answer, he reminds Daniel that he's greatly loved. And when God brings the answer to us, he reminds us, you're my child and I love you. Hallelujah. God is faithful. And he sends a messenger. He sends him a messenger. I want you to know, when the enemy comes, when the enemy of your soul comes to tell you that you are abandoned, you lift up the shield of faith. You know, the Bible tells us we've been given an armor. We have an armor. This armor is to protect us from the enemy. We have in this armor the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We put on our feet the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith by which we can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. Those what? Those thoughts that condemn us. Those thoughts that say you're no good. Those thoughts, oh, God's abandoned you. He's not with you. All those arrows that come. If you don't lift up that, guess what's going to happen? And the enemy will come. Lift up that shield of faith when he comes to tell you God's abandoned you. God hasn't remembered his covenant. God's not remembered his promise. You lift up the shield of faith and you remember that God is for me. Who can be against me? You lift up the shield of faith and you remind the devil that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. You remind the devil that there is nothing on this green earth or in hell or in any other place that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You remind the enemy. And that is faith. That's trusting in God. Even when it's the darkest time in your life, you say, in the name of Jesus, I believe him above your lies. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus reminded us, he's a liar. He's been telling the lie from the beginning. That's his native tongue. He lies. Remember how much the Father loves you in Christ. Remember that. Always remember. God sends an angel, and the angel tells him, you're greatly loved, Daniel. You're greatly loved. And the moment that word came out, I was ready and I was coming. I was bringing you that word, Daniel. I was coming to bring you, not just to bring you what you were looking for, but beyond what you were asking, because God wanted you to know. God sent the angel Gabriel to give him the answer, because angels are ministering spirits. How do you many of you know that God sends his angels to help us? Now, when I say this, I don't want you to think anything freaky about worshiping angels. No, we're not talking about that. We worship God. And matter of fact, angels will tell you, don't worship me. I'm just a servant like you. Real angels, those who are of the Lord, will tell you, don't worship me, worship Christ. And so you need to understand, though, that angels are angelic beings who are assigned to help us. How many of you remember in Hebrews chapter 1, I want to read this to you. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. This is what it says in Hebrews. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not, who are they, angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Guess who are those to inherit salvation? We're the ones who are going to inherit salvation, and God has sent angels to minister to us, to help us. I want to remind you of a moment. You remember Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God had a purpose in his heart to destroy it completely because of the sin that was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I tell you, that same sexual moral behavior and idolatry is happening today in this country and around the world. And God was sending his angels to do his will and destroy these people for their sin. And remember, before this happened, they come and they talk with Abraham. And Abraham intercedes for Lot and says, Lord, if there's 10 righteous, will you still destroy the land? And God said, no, Abraham, if there's 10, I won't destroy it. And then Abraham said, well, What if there's, I'm just paraphrasing, what if there was five? And then he goes down to just one. And God said, no, if there's just one, I won't destroy the place. And God spares his nephew because of Abraham. His angels, they go down. And let me read to you what happens. In Genesis 19, verses 15 through 16, Genesis 19, 15 through 16, as the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. Verse 16, but he lingered. See, Lot didn't want to leave. Sometimes we don't want to leave our sin, and he's lingering. We don't want to leave the places we think it's helping us, but God has said, I'm about to destroy this thing. You need to get out of here. And he lingered. So when the, and listen what the angels did. They seized him. You got to understand, God is so faithful to his promise. We know Lot, the Bible tells us that Lot was still a righteous man, but Lot wanted, for whatever reason, he had affection for this place. And the Bible says that they had this, the angels had to grab him basically and say, get out of here because we're going to destroy this place. So it says, excuse me, it says, but he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord being merciful to them. See that God being merciful, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. I mean, here are angels coming to destroy a city because of their sin, to bring about destruction completely. We know the story, sulfur and brimstone, and destroyed the whole place. And because of God's mercy, he takes Abraham's nephew out of there with his family and saves them. Their affection for that place was so much that, you remember, don't look back. And Abraham's wife, she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt, the Bible says. I don't know what her problem, I don't know what it was, but they had this affection. And as a result, this is what happened. God, through his mercy, sends his angels to minister. God has sent Gabriel to minister to Daniel because Daniel wanted to, he what he was reading, he was pleading with God and he wanted an answer. He wanted God to do something. And we know in Psalm 91, one of our favorite, one of the Christians, we love to read this psalm. It's such a beautiful psalm about God's protection over our lives. Listen to Psalm 91, verses 9 through 12. It says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. God sends his angels to minister to us. How many of you remember God coming to Elijah and feeding Elijah by the water brook after after Jezebel wanted to kill him? What happened to that man? He became a coward. I mean, he killed all these priests of Baal and kills them all. And the woman said, I'm going to come kill you today. And he just runs like a coward. And he says, God, I just want to die. How many of you ever felt like, God, just let me die? And God said, no, you're not. It's not time. When it's time for you to go, I'm going to come get you. But you have more to do. And what does God do? He comes, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord, that's a representation of God. He comes and forms himself as an angel, but it's the Lord. And he comes and feeds him at the water brook. He says, eat these cakes, eat this. It'll help give you the strength for the journey you got to take. I want you to go back over there. Woo! He has to go back to the people that want to kill him. And God said, don't worry, I'm with you. And remember, he thought he was by himself. How many times do you feel, you know, this is our us, you know, we don't like to admit it, but that's our pride sometimes. Oh, I'm the only one. And God, I've not bowed my knee. And God says, he comes to him in a small, still voice. And he says, I want you to go back because there's a thousand that have not bowed their knee to Baal either. And I want you to go and give Elisha. You see, there were things that he had to do. He had to pass on the mantle to who? Elisha. Because he would continue his ministry. Oh, man. You see, we're here because God wants us here. And when he's ready to take us home and be with him, we're going. But while we're here, we need to continue doing his work. Because just like Daniel, this messenger came to help and strengthen Daniel, give Daniel insight and wisdom about what's coming and what's going to happen. Angels come and minister to us and help us in our time of need. And thank God for that. So let's move on. So Gabriel comes. He tells him, you're greatly loved. He now begins to, in verse 24, I want to kind of end here in this area. Take a few minutes here because this is where I want to end. We'll finish up next week a little bit more. But here he starts off in verse 24, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish transgressions, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness to seal both vision and prophet and to anoint a most holy place. So one of the things that we see here, it has been decreed. When God says something is going to happen, no one can change it. And God has decreed for Israel, when it says here, your people, he's not talking about Christians. And I think this is an important part. Remember, I've been telling y'all on Wednesday nights too, there are some in the Christian faith who believe, it's called replacement theology. They believe the church replaced Israel. And that Israel is no longer, it's now the promises are for us. But it's interesting, they only like the promises, not the curses that come if we replace Israel. They don't like to hear if you don't obey this, then this is what happens. No, no, no. And this really deals with that a lot because he says, your people. This is Daniel's people, and Daniel's people are Jewish people. Daniel's a Jew. Daniel is Hebrew. Daniel came from Israel. He was taken captive. He's a man of God, taken captive from Jerusalem. He is there serving under this king, Darius, and he is now in the Medo-Persian Empire. He started with Babylon. He was under Nebuchadnezzar and his son, and now he's with this other empire. At 8 years old, he's been away from his land, and he has seen the desolation of his people. The desolation of the house of God. There's no more dancing. That'll preach. There's no joy in the house of the Lord. It was empty. And he prays, say, God, return. You know, like the psalmist writes, when he was in sin, he said, Lord, return to me the joy of my salvation, that I may tell sinners your way. And joy needed to be back. But the process, the reason this was happening is because we saw in Jeremiah, Israel transgressed. Israel was sinning against God. They were worshiping idols. They were doing all kinds of evil things. They would offer their children up to be burned. Well, doesn't that sound like America? We're offering up our children to that god Molech still. We're killing them before they even have a chance to get out the womb. Millions and millions of innocent blood on our hands. That's us. And it's in the church. And it's okay in the church sometimes. They let it go in the church and they don't preach. The pulpits are silent. They don't talk about it. You know, I was thinking about it. I want to interject this for a minute. There's always reasons why people don't do things, or maybe something's not involved like it should. I understand that. But recently there was something for a ministry locally here that we support as a church, Daybreak Life Pregnancy Center. Daybreak is here in Columbia. We support them monthly. We support them as a church. And they had a walk. Or Run for Life, a 5K. And what I find interesting is that this is one of the only major ministries that has been near Planned Parenthood. And we go to this walk, and I'm looking for a mass group of people to be there. When I talk about Christians, because you got to understand, we're not up in New York, we're not up in the North where abortion is on demand and everything's cool. We're in the South. We're supposed to be pro-life in the South, right? And we look, and where are all the Christians? Where are they? Where's the churches? And you look, and you go, man, because I know of churches that are massive. They're big. Where are their people? Where are their pastors talking about, hey, we want to, let's support this ministry. They're doing a work and we want to be, we just want to be, where are they? No, we don't want to lose people. We don't want to upset people. We want to stay out of that. And as a result, that blood is in our hands. The Bible tells if you as a watchman don't say nothing and keep their blood is on your hand. But if I tell them, hey, this is wrong, and I warn you, and I tell you this is bad, they're coming, then your blood is no longer. If you don't listen, if you don't repent, if you don't turn from that, that's on you. You're going to deal with God. I did my part. I warned. I tried. And so just like in Israel, there was transgression. They had rebelled against God. They had sinned against God. And God says to them, there's a decree made about this city. There's a decree made about this temple. It's going to be this way, and nothing's going to change it. I have Daniel. So just get that out your mind right now. There is a time when all this will take place, but right now, this is what's going to happen. You know, sometimes, how many of you know our kids ask us for a lot of things as parents? And sometimes we have to say no. Why? Because we know it's not good for them. Dad, I want to have the Mercedes Benz. Nope. Why would I buy your Mercedes when you just got a license? Because you know what's going to happen to that Mercedes? It costs, I don't know, $80,000. You know what's going to happen with that vehicle? It's going to be crashed. It's going to be hit. Why would I put you in something like that? You're not ready for that. You're not mature enough to have the responsibility of driving something that nice. You know what you need to do? I'm going to give you my old car. And you're going to drive my old car because you know why? I want you to learn how to experience some driving before you get into something nicer. Why? Because I know we're young. I was young, man. I got a car accident before I even had a license because I was a dummy. I mean, I remember that year, and then I got my license, and I felt like I got in two accidents, like, within a few months of each other. I was so mad at my, and I had crashed my wife's car, which was my girlfriend. Oh my gosh, I wonder what her dad was saying about me at that time. I'm going to ask him one day. My father-in-law must have been so angry, maybe, to her, or maybe she said it was her. I don't know what she did. I don't know if she covered for me. But I remember, but again, the point is, I was driving a nicer car. She had a Nissan Altima. It was hers. You know, she was older than me, so she had more experience driving. So her dad bought her, because her first car was, you know, some little New Yorker car from like 1980-something, I think, that she almost died in because she went under a 18-wheeler. Thank God she's still here. But she had an old car. It was for her to learn to drive. In the same way, our father, he's telling Daniel, no, I have a decree that's being made and it has to happen. Why? Daniel begins to, God gives Daniel insight into Israel's redemption in the future and how it's going to come about. So Daniel's asking about now. It's been 65 years, Lord. Can we just hurry it along? Can we go ahead and, you know, please, Lord, I know we're sinful. We deserve this. And I'm not making light of what Daniel was praying because it was serious matter. But it's like, you know, in essence, it's like, oh, Father, can we go now? Has it been enough? Has it all? We've been gone for 65 years. I've been under these different places, these pagans for 80 years. I'm 80 years old, and I want to see this happen in my time. No, Daniel was not given that privilege at that moment. Daniel was told, hey, no, this has to happen. There's 70 weeks are decreed about your people. He says, this is about your people. This is about what I have to do with your people and the city. Because what he wants to do now, let's finish here. He wants to finish the transgression and to put an end to sin. God wants to finish the transgression. Transgression is violating God's word, is the violation of God's word. We can see all through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they're prophesying before all this happened. They're talking. Remember, Jeremiah was telling them, repent, turn. Maybe God will relent. Maybe this won't happen. Maybe But they wouldn't. They would not listen to Elijah. They would listen to the false prophets. Oh, everything's fine. You're going to be great. God's going to give us the victory. And God's with us. And no one can defeat us because God is our fighter and all this stuff. And yet there's sin in the camp. And God is saying, I see what you're doing when no one sees. And I see what your priests are doing. I see what your governors and I see what your kings are doing. I see it all. God is saying, I see it all. There needs to be repentance. And Jeremiah, as we know, the weeping prophet, why? Because they would not repent of when he preached. And the word is coming and God's calling his people to repent. Remember Isaiah, hey, let me, not in my sermon notes, but I want to go there because I just remember Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 18. Look at this. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now. This is God speaking to Israel. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God is telling them, listen, my child, let's reason together. Let's work this out. Let's get you back out of this. Let's get you out of this. Let's come on, repent, come to me. Why? Because they were acting like nothing's going on. Can I tell you, we have gone through a lot in this nation in a long time. We've been seeing even greater things happening in our nation. We see wickedness in the street. We see lawlessness happening in the streets. We see people breaking into stores, taking stuff, and government licensing and saying, "Ah, we're not going to put them in jail if it's something they steal out the store." I mean, what is this? Lawlessness in the land. We see our representatives in our government, the corruption, the lying, and the all the things that are taking place. And the church is trying to, oh, everything's fine. We're just going to, oh, everything's great. And there's no call to repent. There's no preaching of that, because if we do start preaching repentance, man, we're going to lose money in the offering plate. They're not going to give. I don't want to upset somebody. I don't want to offend them. And God is like, come now, let us reason together. Because he says, stop it. I'm tired of your songs. I'm tired of all this. I don't want to hear it. Oh my gosh. He says, verse 12 of Isaiah. Look, he says, when you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings, incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath, the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I am weary of bearing them. God is saying, your sacrifices have become a burden to me, and I'm tired of it. You know why? Because just like any parent, if a kid disobeys you and does wrong, and they try to come to you and, oh, it's all good. No. No, we have to deal with this. You disobeyed me. You disrespected me. You're going to have to get that behavior right before we can have a good relationship. The same way with God. God, wait a minute. Hold on. You guys have sinned against me. You're doing this in my face, and you want me to be okay with it? And bless you in my presence? This is what he's saying. He said, I'm tired of it. Just stop it. Let's reason together. Let's come back. Let's repent. Repent. And then I'll receive you. Then I'll receive your worship. Then I'll receive your songs. I'll receive your prayers. Why? Because you have acknowledged your sin, your transgression. Transgression is when we rebel against God's command. We rebel against God's word. And Gabriel gives an insight into the great tribulation, where God is going to allow the persecution of Israel to cause them to look to the one they pierced. And I know it's difficult to take. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. as the Bible instructs us, we pray for the people of Israel. But God has decreed a moment for them. He's decreed a time for the Gentiles. This is our time right now to come into the kingdom. Is a time where we're also suffering persecution because we bear his name. Some of you may not understand. Maybe, you would have gotten a promotion at work, maybe something, but because of your faith, maybe because of what you believe, they're like, no, we're not going to do that. You may not know that, but that may be happening in the back rooms where no one, where you're not there. That could be an issue. Who knows? One day I may not be able to work where I work because of what I preach. You never know. But will we say, I am blessed because I bear his name? Okay? Now, if I do wrong, obviously, I should suffer for doing wrong. But when I'm just doing because I love the Lord and I suffer because of him, then I'm okay. God will be with me no matter what happens. And you will be okay. So there were things that are going to happen. It's difficult, but a decree was made. This has to pass. The transgression has to end. Go back to Daniel. It has to end. God has to deal with the transgression. He's going to allow it for a time, and he set a date when this will all end. Obviously, there's also some twofold message here because we know the temple was rebuilt. Ezra's book, we know that they went back to rebuild the temple. A decree came from Darius, and they went back and rebuilt the temple of the Lord during that time. Okay, so we know it's twofold. It's not just for the future, but even in that time, Daniel was already gone. Daniel has passed away. And it begins, why? Daniel, though, saw beyond that. Because God was saying, son, in other words, Daniel wasn't going to see it. But he showed him, oh, Daniel, this is nothing compared to what I'm going to do for Israel and for all the world. Woo, man. I mean, again, it's like that understanding that God, he answers us and he gives us more than we could ever ask, hope, or think, or imagine. We don't even understand. God revealed to Daniel something beyond him and generations beyond him. He's revealed to where we can look back and see all that Daniel saw. And now we're also looking into more to what Daniel saw beyond us. Oh, what an awesome testimony we see. God is allowing this transgression. This reminds us today that when we transgress God's word, he will discipline us to bring us back to him. God wants to make an end to sin. Okay, the point of this is going to happen. And there's something awesome that God is going to do. He's going to bring atonement for iniquity. Look what it says there. I'm going to end here. He says, again, verse 24, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness. And who's our righteousness? Christ. He's our everlasting righteousness, and he will be Israel's everlasting righteousness. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is faithful. Listen to the word. Let's finish up with this passage of scripture. We're going to continue there because we're going to see the account of this anointed one who's going to be cut off. And we're going to go into that for a second, but I don't want to do that today. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to end with these verses of scripture. I mean, because you need to understand all that is happening, even with Israel today, and what is going to happen with them in the tribulation period is going to be to this final end, just like God has been doing with us, the Gentiles, bringing us in and grafting us into the vine. Look what it says here, verse 18 through verse 21. I believe 2 Corinthians 5. Wait a minute. Yes, I'm sorry. Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past. Behold, new has come. All this is from God who through Christ, listen to this, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Woo, man. That atoning, God wants to atone for the sin of the people. Atonement means God wants to reconcile. He wants to make it right. God wants to remove the sin, and he wants to bring an everlasting righteousness. And we see that he did it through his son. He made his son to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Man. And we know in Romans, Paul says that the righteousness that is of God is by faith. And we've been talking in Galatians that we received it by faith, like Abraham. The promise comes through faith. The righteousness that we need comes through faith. Hallelujah. So I hope that encourages you today. You need to understand that God wants to atone for the iniquity of Israel and bring an everlasting righteousness, and he's going to do that one day. And for now, we who have come to believe in Jesus Christ are experiencing that right now. The Gentile believers and some Jews that are still, you know, there are Jewish people that are believers today. They have come to know Christ, but it's not the majority of them. So those Christians today, those who have been born again, whether they're Gentile or Jew, they are experiencing this everlasting righteousness right now, that our sins have been cast away from us as far as the east is from the west. We're experiencing that new covenant, a new heart. We've been born again. Not born by the flesh, but of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So let's pray and give God thanks for his good word today. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts today. And Lord, we recognize, Lord, that we need you. We recognize, Lord, that there are things that are happening in our world today, in our land today. And Lord, like Daniel, we ask you for mercy. We do not deserve it, Lord. Our country does not deserve mercy, but we ask you to be merciful towards us, to remember that your people are here, those who are called by your name. And Lord, we come and we humble ourselves because we have sinned against you. We recognize, Lord, that we are at fault here. God, you are right in what you do. And we need your help. We need you to act on our behalf. We need you to awaken the hearts of our countrymen here. Lord, there's so much disorder in our country because we have forsaken you, Lord. And I pray in the church today, I pray for pastors all over this land, that God, you would raise them up to preach your word fearlessly as they should. Lord, I pray for pastors who are in these big churches, Lord, that have been quiet, have not spoken, and that they're really your children. They really belong to you. If they're really your child, God, that you, through your Holy Spirit, will bring them into correction, will bring them into a place where they would repent and begin to preach the things that bring about revival in the church. And God, may we be faithful to carry the good news to our neighbors, to our coworkers. May we demonstrate to them the life of Jesus. Help us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.